It was almost 2 months ago while I was waiting at a coffee house to meet someone that I overheard a conversation. Two women were talking, and one was expressing her joy of being the aunt of her brother's son, since she didn't have, and her husband didn't have any children. And she spent time, and I didn't mind overhearing because she was speaking loudly, talking about what a joy it was to have her nephew come and visit with her. She would look forward to those days, and she made them very special. When her nephew would come over, they had a special room that had a queen-size bed in it. All throughout the room, she would put his special snacks that he liked in particular, that he could get anytime he wanted. And on top of that, before he left her house to go home, he always had to go to the magic room. And in the magic room was an array of gifts of different sizes, beautifully wrapped. And he was always allowed to take one home with him. And there were two things that I thought almost immediately as I heard this. The first was, wow, that's a spoiled kid. And the second thing I thought almost after that is, I wonder if I could get an invitation to stay there for an evening. Later, when I heard a little bit more about the conversation, I found out that the young boy has had a long list of health problems. And it's taken the whole extended family and God's grace to get him to the point in life where he was even then. But in thinking about this story, I realized how easily, because I get caught up hearing stories like this, wanting the brightly wrapped gifts this world has to offer. I want the baubles. I want the trinkets. I want the gadgets that this world has. I'm not an Apple person yet, but just hearing about the iPad, you know, I wouldn't mind one. You know, and then I sat at breakfast with someone the other day, and they had one. And they were showing me all the features. And I start thinking, and I start salivating, you know, thinking, oh, man, if I only had one of those. Beloved, I want to help you, because I think living in our culture especially, you know what it is to salivate over something. For you, it might not be an iPad. It could be food or a relationship or finances or a thousand other things. And by God's grace, as we open the Word, because you are united to Christ, those of you who are united to Christ in faith, those of you who have union with Him and know that He has died for you and He is your Savior and Lord, He has listed, He has caused by His Spirit to list four wondrous gifts that we're going to unwrap tonight that you already have, that are meant to satisfy our hearts, because they're not transient, they're eternal. I have a friend of mine I was sitting with breakfast at the other day, and it was actually the same guy with the iPad. And he was cleaning out his basement, and they're trying to start to get ready for retirement and realize what they have to do. And he was cleaning out his basement, he just realized all the things that had caught his eye and he had bought for a moment but never used again. He thought that they would give him a measure of satisfaction. And he said they really haven't. And so may God give us satisfaction as we see the gifts. As you see, if you're in Christ, the gifts that you have right now, not just to be opened up, but to be used and enjoyed, because they're meant to satisfy your soul. So let's look to the Scripture. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we'll start with verse 26. And I want you to know and notice which each of these verses how they're connected with being in Christ. These wondrous gifts that we're going to look at tonight that are available to you are not available if you are not in Christ. They are not for yours. He has only given them to those who are His children. And so, my goal tonight is twofold. One, if you are His, you'd get them off the shelf. And you start using these gifts that are meant to satisfy your soul. But if you're not His, that you would start to salivate. And you would see how wondrous it is to be united to Christ by faith. Let's look at His Word. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For many of you, as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Well, there's four gifts that we want you to see if you are in Christ. The first is in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Look at it. I'm going to read it again. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Now, if you would listen to the television, if you would listen and read the newspaper, the world is quick to say, we're all made in God's image, which is true. But then they go on to say, we're all sons of God. And that's not true according to God's Word. God's Word would say we are all created by Him. But the Word of God tells us, because of Adam, our federal head, who sinned, and we've sinned in him, we become his children, and as the Scripture says, we're actually children of the devil. The Scripture would tell us in John 8:44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. And before we come into Christ, our will is to do what we want to do. We don't want to serve Christ. In Boston, the Unitarians' unofficial creed is this: the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man, in the neighborhood of Boston. But that's not true. Phil Ryken says it this way: although God is the creator of all and ruler of all and judge of us all, He is the Father only of His Son Jesus Christ and those who are in Him by faith. Let me ask you, are you God's child? Have you trusted Christ to be your Savior? Then the amazing thing is that you have Him to be your Father. He has adopted you. He has made you His. Christ is your older brother. How, what's a wondrous thing that is. Some of you, I trust, have had great dads. But I don't know that. I trust that. But even your greatest dad has disappointed you at one time or another. He said, I'll take you to a ball game. But in reality, he couldn't because he was coming home and got a flat tire, or he had to work late. You were disappointed. Some of us have had fathers that were much worse than that. My father was a drunkard. He would beat us. And so when my father died as a result of Vietnam, when I was a teenager, I thought it was the greatest day of my life because I was free at last. Now, it's been a hard thing to deal with, but God's grace I have and worked through it. But my Heavenly Father, I know that whatever my Heavenly Father has for me is right and perfect, and that is a wondrous gift. When He makes a promise to me, He will always fulfill it. There's nothing that can stop my Heavenly Father, who's all-powerful, from fulfilling it. So whenever He promises something good for me, it will come. And when He disciplines me, it's always right. and it's always just the right amount. Earthly fathers are not able to do that. Some of you have remembered times when your earthly fathers should have disciplined you, but they disciplined you in anger, and it was too much, and it hurt too much. I remember one of the scariest times as a young father when I was watching my daughter while my wife was working and I was in seminary, and I'd come home and I was taking care of Katie, and she was still young and wouldn't stop crying. I just remember shaking her and saying, "Will you be quiet?" I hate to admit that. I'm glad she didn't get the shaken brain syndrome, you know, that you could get. And I had to say after that, by God's grace, I'll never do that again. But you see, I'm only a mere man. I'm not going to control myself. My discipline will be more than it should be at times. Right? But I want you to understand that even when your Heavenly Father disciplines you, He says He does it out of love. One of the gifts, this is an amazing thing, that being united to Christ, is you have such a Father who never takes His eyes off of you, who never slumbers or sleep, who's never without the funds that are needed, who's never too weak that He can't come to your aid. You have a wondrous gift all throughout your life and facing death that the world does not have. Even if you have a great father, your father, more often than not, will die before you will. And he'll be gone. And some of you have had great fathers, but he's no longer there to be able to support you and encourage you. But in Christ, you have a father who has promised never to leave or forsake you. What a wondrous gift. And yet, beloved, isn't it true that sometimes we live as orphans? We're facing the situation. Some of you are facing work situations or financial situations or relational situations, and you say, "Oh man, I wish that I'd get through this. I wish someone was watching over me." You fool. He is. Look to Him. He said, "Call upon me." The Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." And Jesus says, "Call upon Him early and often." Beloved, use your wonderful gift that you have through Christ. As He always and often went to His Father, go to yours. Don't set this gift aside. The second gift that you have if you are united to Christ by faith is in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Look at chapter 3 and 27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You who are united to Christ have the gift of new clothing. Not only do you have a Father, a Heavenly Father who will care for you, you have a new clothing. Now, putting on Christ in baptism here is not talking about being baptized. What it's talking about here is that everyone who is in Christ by faith are baptized by His Holy Spirit. You have not just Christ as through Christ having a Heavenly Father as a gift, but now you have the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and to empower you. And that new clothing, most particularly, is His righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 5 with me for a second. Turn there, Romans chapter 5 and 1. Romans chapter 5, 1, and then verse 5. First, verse 1. "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And now skip to verse 5. "And because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Do not believe any kind of a lie that the charismatic church would bring to you and say that there is some kind of second baptism, that you're not a real or a strong Christian unless you've had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, unless you have the fire and Holy Ghost. That's not true. If you are in Christ, you have been given that when you were united to Him. So now think what we have now is your gifts already. When you are united to Christ, if you are united to Christ by faith, you have Christ as your Lord and Savior. And now, the first gift was what? You have the Heavenly Father, God as your Heavenly Father. And now, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you to empower you for whatever God calls you to do. You have the whole Godhead gifted to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And how silly it is that we chase after the baubles of the world. It's not that we can't have the things of the world, but that they capture us. And in a measure, as even His children, we set God our Father aside and live like orphans. And we live weak and emaciated spiritual lives, forgetting that we can call upon the very Holy Spirit, God's very Spirit, the dunamai, the dynamite, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And you wake up tired and depressed in the morning, you said, I feel like I'm dead. The very Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is yours in you when you came to Christ. And yet, we live as if we're without gifts. And we often live poor spiritual lives because we don't believe what God has promised and already given to us. So two wondrous gifts that you have if you are united with Christ. That you have God as your Father who gives and watches over you perfectly. And you have His Holy Spirit. That He doesn't give you one command. He hasn't given you one thing to do that He hasn't always promised now that you have the power to do everything that He commands you to do. Wondrous thing. The third gift that you have if you are in Christ is in Galatians chapter 3 and 28. Look there. You who are united to Christ by faith have the gift of a new status. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's a wondrous thing. That shatters all the boundaries that the world puts up between economic class, between racial class, between men and women. It's all broken down before Christ, and in Christ we are all one. Not one of us is better than the other. Yes, He has set, as there is within the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one is not better than the other. They're all three in one. They're all co-equal with each other, and yet they have different responsibilities. God the Father directs the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ direct the Holy Spirit. So there is submission to do the work that's called to do. So within the church, there are elders and there are deacons and there are folks in the church, and we're not all the leaders. There's the pastor, right? Within the family, there's the father and the mother and the children. All equal before God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But because we're equal, we don't set aside the responsibilities and the leadership that's there that He's put before us. But wondrous things that we have. The Jew at the time would wake up and he would pray this. He would say this, the Jewish man, I thank Thee, O God, that I am a Jew and not a Gentile. I thank Thee, O God, that I am a free man and not a slave. And I thank Thee, O God, that I am a man and not a woman. Oh my. And yet there's times when we live like the world and we're easily set aside other people. And that happens within the church too, doesn't it? We would like to say it doesn't. But beloved, one of the great gifts you have in the church is each other. It's a wondrous thing. I am so excited that God is turning our church into a multi-ethnic church. It's a joy. Because we have people coming with gifts and abilities that we never had before, and the way to look at Scripture and other things that we've never looked at before. And in Christ, you have a family that are together. Ephesians 2:19 says it this way, "So then you Gentiles are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So race is gone in Christ. Our social status is gone in Christ. Ephesians 6:9, "Masters, stop your threatening, knowing that He who is both their master and yours in heaven, that there's no partiality within Him." And then gender. "Husbands, love your wives in an understanding way, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life." So what a wondrous thing now to have brothers and sisters in Christ, a new family to help encourage us. That's a great joy for my wife and I. We have our daughter and our son-in-law, and we have her brother and his wife, but that's all of our relations. That's it. We have a family reunion at Thanksgiving, you know? I guess, no, they have two sons, too, that come sometimes. That's it, you know? But when we get together every Sunday, we're with family. And it's a joy. And it's a joy to have people caring for you and praying for you. And it's a joy to have people calling you up and ask how you're doing. And so what a gift that you have in Christ, a new family. And a family that's eternal. Because we know that our physical family may not be eternal, right? My mother and father, I don't think I will ever see again. I'm not sure. Maybe my mother. I'm not sure if she was a Christian again. But I have laid to rest, as a pastor, many brothers and sisters in Christ and done their funerals that I can't wait to go and be with them in heaven. We have family. And so, remember I was talking earlier about that child that got to go to the magic room? You go to the throne room of God. And He has given you, if you are in Christ, God as your Father. The Holy Spirit to comfort you and enable you to follow Him. And He's given you a whole new family, brothers and sisters in Christ, united together before Him. And one more gift that He talks about in Galatians chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 29. "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." Abraham, if you remember in Hebrews 11, says was looking for a city whose foundations were not in this earth. He was looking for the foundations of heaven. And what he's talking about, that if you are in Christ, you, as Christ was looking, as Abraham was looking forward to Christ, he was also looking forward to going to be with Him in heaven. And if you are in Christ, you have eternal life. You have heaven, and you are an heir with Christ. Now you remember some of the things that it talks about being in Christ and having that inheritance. Do you remember what it says in Revelation 21? Let me read to you just a few of the things that you will have being Christ's and having heaven. Because it says, "When you go there, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither there shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." One of the frustrations we have in life is that we think that heaven should be now. There are even some preachers who will teach you that you can have your best life now. This isn't the best life. Don't even strive for it as far as the world. If you think a new iPad is going to make you happy, it won't. Some of you have one. You can't figure it out yet. Some of you have gotten a car. The new smell has gone and there's a dent in it. Some of you have gotten a house and now it flooded this spring. We think that our best life should be now. Beloved, it's not. That's a lie. Our best life is later, and with Christ, we're going there. It's one of the gifts we have. Four gifts. that God has given you in the throne room of His because of the Lord Jesus Christ and being with Him. You have God as your Father. The world has the devil. The world makes these promises, and then when you go to them, it's like a fish with a hook. It's got that nice, juicy worm on it that's fat and wiggling and slimy, and you're out there with your fish lips, and you're going, and you think it's good, and you're ready, and you take a big bite of that worm, and you go, oh, wow, worm, and it tastes worm in your mouth, and then the guy sets the hook. And that's what devil does to us all the time. Oh, it looks good. And it even tastes good until he sets the hook. And that's what it was like living with the devil as your father. But your heavenly Father has no hooks to set for you. He only has his love eternal caring for you every day. And if you are Christ, he's given you the gift of his Holy Spirit, that you might be strengthened and encouraged, able to understand his word and follow him. If you are in Christ, he's given you a whole new family. Not perfect yet. This family is going to be perfect one day. I know that even within this church, you've hurt each other from time to time. I hope you'll go and ask for forgiveness and work it out. We have the tools to do that. But when we are together in heaven, when we get that inheritance, one of the things that made me think that heaven's going to be so great, the way Jonathan Edwards described it, is that when we're in heaven and we're glorified, when you go up and say something to someone, you never have to ask, what did they really mean? Right? I just got a buzz cut not long ago. Right? I'm riding my bicycle a lot. I don't want hat hair. And I've had a lot of comments at church about my hair, right? And some of them, oh, I really like that. I really like that. Pastor? What? You know, I'm not sure what people mean, right? And that's not even anything that's really going to hurt me, right? But your friends come up and they say things and you're not sure what they mean. But when we're glorified in heaven and someone comes up and say, hi, how are you? I'm glad to see you. You'll know they really mean it. Because we'll be perfected and glorified. God is your Father. What a gift. Rejoice in Him now. The Holy Spirit to guide you, direct you, to enable you, to empower, to comfort you. Open it. Use Him. Love Him. The body of Christ. And then the inheritance of heaven. There will be no more tears. You'll be united with your loved ones in Christ. But let me not stop there. Because we forget how we got these gifts. It's not the gifts. How did we get them? We got them by being united through Christ, the giver. And he's even the best gift who gives all the gifts. Don't just go after the gifts. Go after Christ, the giver. I read in World Magazine not long ago this story that was really encouraging to me. It was of a church that was in Haiti. Pastor Charles Amasi, who graduated from Greenville Seminary in South Carolina, started a small church in Haiti. And in a small church, it included a school for 500 children and an orphanage. It was just a small church. And after the earthquake, it was one of the few buildings that were standing and was clean. And so they would come and operate, and for 2 or 3 weeks, all they did was amputations. And most of them were without anesthesia. And so the church building where they used to meet was now only full of these amputees who were crying out many times because of pain, because they didn't have pain medicine yet. It hadn't been delivered. And so they're dealing with a loss of an arm or a leg or some with multiple. And so if you would go into the church building during the day, it was overwhelming at times, they would say, just to be able to stand there. But the church continued to meet there. It would meet outside. And when they started to praise God, they would go up and set their chairs next to the windows so the people in the church could worship with them or hear them. The members of the congregation lined up benches next to the church clinic so patients could hear the worship service through the open doors and windows. And as the church service began, a new sound swallowed the cries and the wails in the clinic, the patients singing hymns with the outdoor congregation. Then some of them began to lift up their stumps from their amputated limbs in the air, and the Creole singing reverberated off the concrete walls. The only friend I have is God. This friend always knows my trouble. His love always comforts me. His hand always dries my tears. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. Beloved, the best gift that we have because we have that inheritance in heaven is we will be with Christ and see Him face to face. Any and all doubts will be gone. His look upon you, because you will be glorified, will be wondrous. You will see Him and know His love perfectly. You will see His wounds. You will see and hear Him and know Him. And He will be reminded of all the times He's cared for you when you didn't even know it. And you will love Him back perfectly. You won't ever have to say, "Oh, Jesus," as we do sometimes, "I love you, I want to follow you." And then we walk out the church doors and we have an argument on the way home in the car. We say, "This week I'm really going to follow you." And you kick the dog or whatever you do. It doesn't last long here, does it? But that's what we'll have. We'll have Christ. Beloved, I want to encourage you to mark this portion in your Bible. Because we are a fickle people. It's not going to take long for us to hear a song or to see a car outside or watch the television that we're once again chasing after the gifts of this world, the baubles and the trinkets that we think will make us happy. And we need to be reminded what we already have in Christ. Take them off the shelf because they were made to satisfy us. The giver of the gifts gave them to you because they fit your soul. Beloved, rejoice. You have God as your Father. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you because you are united with Christ. You have this family here that you can call upon at any time. And you have the promise of heaven where all your tears will be dried and you'll be made new. But most of all, you will have the giver face to face. Come back here often. Open your gifts. Use them. God has given to them for your soul. Let's look to Him. Our Father, how I confess that prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Would you even do here tonight what the hymn writer says? Take our hearts and seal them for your courts above. Would you remind us what are the real gifts, not the fake gifts the devil offers us that are in the Cracker Jack box or the bottom of the cereal box, or we get out of the gum machine that costs a quarter and we pick it up and play with it for 2 minutes and it breaks, or even the more expensive ones that capture us and enslave us. We thank you for these gifts that we have, being united to Christ by faith. Wondrous gifts that many of us here have even set aside. There's some here that have been living like orphans. They've cried like they've been abandoned rather than drawing near to their Heavenly Father. There are some who are hopeless because they have forgotten that you have empowered them and have your Holy Spirit living within them, that we might call upon you and that you have promised to come to our aid and comfort us. There are some living as if they have no family, when they haven't called on their brothers and sisters that are here this very evening. Would you have that happen tonight, oh God, that someone who is here in need would not go out into the world as if they don't have family? Would you allow them to cry out for help to a brother or sister tonight? And Father, remind us that we're sojourners here, that we're not to hold on to these trinkets that the devil offers, that you have prepared a mansion for us where Christ waits to greet us. May we rejoice. May we pick off the shelf. May we use and unwrap these wondrous gifts that you have given to us in Him. Amen.